And welcome to the Habits and Home Show. I'm your host, Lisa Lazat, and I help busy moms bring order to their homes by downsizing and decluttering and ditching old habits in exchange for systems that bring peace and more enjoyment to their lives. If you're a mom trying to show the love of Jesus to your family, but the clutter in your home keeps you overwhelmed and frustrated, you have come to the right place. On this podcast, you will hear easy step-by-step tips to declutter and create systems so you can keep your home organized and finally walk in the peace God has promised you. Need some accountability? I've got you covered there too. Join the Accountability Club, a community of like-minded mamas decluttering and systemizing our homes together. Are you ready, friend? Let's get started. Hey friends, and welcome to the show. So I have a funny story to share with you before we get into today's topic. First of all, I always want you to know that I am a real person with a real family, a real house. You never have to try to impress me or to hide your clutter in any way or present yourself as a perfect person. I always tell my clients when they get started with one-on-one coaching with me and we do their first session, which includes a home tour, they get really nervous about that. And I'm like, y'all, I need to see your clutter in your house just the way it is, because if I don't see your real life, I won't know what is frustrating you and I won't have a job, right? So you never have to try to impress me, and I'm not going to impress you either. So I have a real life story, kind of a shameful story to share with y'all. This morning, while I was getting my kids ready for school, I looked out my kitchen window and we have a little garden that is attached, kind of like a Mr. McGregor's garden attached to our farmhouse. And it has a gate, and I have a lab puppy who likes to get into my garden and eat my bell peppers. And so the gate was open, and I have gotten onto the kids so many times, the boys especially, for kicking their soccer balls over into the garden. They go in the garden to get out the balls, and then they leave the gate open. And so I immediately think, y'all, who left the gate open? I just got onto them the day before, right? So I'm already like frustrated and heightened, you know, my stress is heightened. And so I, you know, stomp out there and go down the steps and I, you know, shut the gate. And then it dawns on me, y'all, it dawns on me that I was the problem. I left the gate open last night when we came home from a kickball game with my kids' school. And we noticed that the hose to the horse's field, and they have a watering trough there, the hose was broken. And so I told my husband, he was all frustrated because it was like 9 o'clock at night, it's dark, and I'm holding a cell phone light for him to see. And he's like, this hose isn't gonna stretch all the way to the watering trough. And I told him, I said, well, you can have one of the hoses out of my garden until I can get a new hose. So I go and walk over to my garden, open the gate, and because the hose is so long, I'm like dragging it behind me, and I don't even think to shut the gate or to lock it. So this realization is dawning on me as I'm relocking the gate, and I walk inside, and y'all, I play it off real cool and everything. I was like, it's fine, don't worry, you know, whatever. Well, conviction sets in, right? And I've always tried to be the person, tried to be the mom that will apologize. If I'm in the wrong, apologize to my kids, because I had a dad who never apologized for anything. I loved him dearly, and unfortunately, he's no longer with me, but he never apologized for anything. And so I grew up thinking, no, I want to be different. I want my kids to be a willing person, you know, an apologetic person. I have to set that example. And so I always want to be able to apologize to my kids when I'm in the wrong. So we're on our way to school. I'm pulling out. I'm like backing my car up in the driveway. And it's just like, it's sitting with me. And, you know, I want them to of course, shut the gate and to keep it closed so I have a choice whether to confess that I was the problem and apologize for getting on to them, or to let it go and just know that, you know, I re-emphasize the need to shut the gate. Nope, I'm backing up the car and I tell them because I want to have that close relationship with my kids and I want them to, you know, feel like they can talk to me and that there's forgiveness, just like God forgives us. I want to, you know, to welcome them and I want them to forgive me. And so I'm like, I'm swallowing my pride and I tell them, y'all, I have a confession. And let me just set the stage. Some of y'all have wondered what ages my kids are. I have a 15-year-old girl, a 13-year-old boy, and an 11-year-old boy. Okay. So, you know, they're at this really fun, they're great at every age, right? I have loved every stage. I even talked about that on our accountability club coaching call yesterday. Somebody was struggling to get rid of their child's toys from when they were little. She was feeling a lot of sentimental ties to them. It was really hard for her. And she said, can you just tell me those affirmations again that you love your kids in the stage that they are in yet now? And yes, I have struggled with, you know, the feeling of, you know, the sadness and the grief of them growing up, but I have tried to practice those affirmations of saying, I love the stage that they're in. I love the age they are right now. If I could just freeze time, I would keep them just at the time that they are right now. I have tried to keep myself from saying, I can't wait till blah, 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 blah. And I also try to keep myself from saying, I miss it when they were blah, blah, blah. I can't speak that into, you know, into my mind because my mind will go there and it'll be really sad. And so I just try to embrace the stage that they're in now. Okay, so here we are and I'm backing up the car and I tell them, y'all, I have a confession. And they're all like looking at me with wide eyes. And I said, I was the one that left the gate open. And they're like, Mom, they were like, when you walked outside, we were blaming each other. And we were like, y'all just confess. And then my middle son, you know, they were the older and the younger were blaming him and he was getting the heat from it. And they're like, we were blaming each other. Hey, we hate it when you do that. And I was like, I know, I'm really sorry. It was my fault. So anyway, let that be a life lesson in some way to just not take yourself so seriously and to just be vulnerable to your kids sometimes and say, hey, I'm doing this parenting thing for the first time. I don't have it all figured out, but I'm going to give you grace. Yes, there are going to be lessons that I have to teach you and I have to be the parent. God gave you to me for me to parent you, not the other way around. And so there will be some training involved. And yes, when you mess up, I do have to follow through with those consequences. But just let that be a life lesson that, you know, we make deposits into our kids' life at every opportunity. We have an opportunity to, you know, be vulnerable, to show them that we're human, because we don't want one day when they have a family to think, man, my mom did it perfectly and I'm struggling over here. No, we need to let them know that we are growing as people. We are, you know, we mess up, we confess, we ask for forgiveness, we're sad. Y'all, sometimes moms are just sad and we have to show our sadness. We have to let them see us cry sometimes so that they can learn empathy and sympathy for us and comfort and know how to comfort another individual, okay? So perfection is not an option. We're not striving for perfection. We're just striving for progress, okay? All right, so I have really kind of a fun topic for today. I was helping a client in person, so I do some organizing and decluttering in person. I do it one-on-one with my one-on-one coaching that we do right here online, and I also have the accountability club. So you have a couple of different options to work with me if you need extra handholding while you declutter and set up systems in your home. But while I was working with her last week in her kitchen, I had this really fun topic come up that I was like, okay, that'll be a lot of fun, because sometimes we have clutter blindness to the things in our home. And so that's where I come in with a lot of people. They don't see the clutter that they have, but when I give them clarity on it, they're like, I don't even know why that's there or why I have it. And I give you the step-by-step instructions of how to notice that clutter, how to deal with it in a way that's not overwhelming and where you like just shut down altogether. And so if you need my help, there are lots of links below that you can get in touch with me. Okay, so today's topic, and this is going to be a two-part podcast episode, is going to be 10 kitchen counter culprits and how to minimize the clutter. So I'm going to give you 10 today and then another 10 on the next episode. So you're going to get a total of 20 kitchen counter culprits. Here we go. Number one, drying dishes. Okay, this is one where we think it's just common and something you're supposed to do. Once you wash dishes, maybe you're hand washing them, you just leave them out to dry. It's really easy to just have a dish rag right beside you and dry those dishes off. Number two, cups. First of all, I recommend decluttering your cups, and then you can assign a cup to each person. Maybe take them to the store and have them pick out their own cup. And I would give a designated spot to keep cups that are in use. You can get creative with this. You can get little tile trivets and let each person decorate their trivets and put them on the counter and have each person put their cup on that trivet. You can find a little basket or maybe like a candle holder. That's what I personally found at the Goodwill. I love thrifting. I found this candle holder where it had five holes for holding candles, and there's five people in my house. So I thought this was like a total God thing. Thanks God for answering this prayer of how to not have cups all over my counter. And so I simply removed the little glass containers that were holding candles, and my cups fit in there perfectly. So try to think of a way of how to keep those cups, like giving a designated spot on the counter to hold cups that are in use. Number three, mail. I get this question a lot. So really recommend creating a daily mail system to sort your mail. First of all, decide who is the designated person for collecting the mail. All right. In our family, I hate mail. I hate intrusions. I feel like it's an intrusion in my life. Like, don't come at me, bro. And so my husband is the opposite. He likes to know everything that's going on. And so he is a designated person to check the mailbox. And I told him, I don't even want to see the mail. I said, honey, can you just like take care of it? Throw everything away, pay the bills like that are coming in the mail. And he's like, sure. So I only get things that have my name on them. However, I do recommend having a designated system. Like, so think through this, get a piece of paper and just like, you know, write down the entire life cycle of that piece of mail. Okay, somebody checks the mailbox, who is that? After they check the mailbox, what's going to happen with that mail? I recommend taking a couple of steps. First of all, having the trash can, you know, handy, or the recycling bin if you're a recycler, and you know, go ahead and put those items in the trash or recycling. And if you have something that you need to deal with later and you can't deal with it right then, put it in your portable office, which I call just a side bag that has my planner in it. And it's my portable office that I can stick things in that I need to deal with later. So if I'm waiting at my kids' soccer practice, I'm not going to be scrolling on my phone. I'm going to get my portable office out and deal with things right then. As far as paperwork, y'all, we really don't need to save much paperwork in our day and age. You don't need to save check stubs. You don't need to save bank statements. It's all online. However, if you do want to save paperwork, I recommend only having your paperwork that is like vital to your identity. So keep that in hand. But anything outside of that, I would have a Google Drive set up so that you can simply take a picture of it, upload it to Google Drive. Now that sounds complicated, but it's really not. Download the app on your phone and simply open the app. Take a picture of that document, make sure it goes in a certain file. You know, that's where the systemizing comes in. And you can store important papers in your Google Drive that you need to refer back to, but you don't have to keep them on hand. This will really cut down on the paper clutter in your home. Number four, keys and wallets, they tend to collect really easy on the kitchen counter because people come in, they just throw them down. I recommend taking the time. Now break these different areas one thing at a time and really set up your systems for them. So I recommend having a basket or some kind of hook for your keys and your wallet beside the door. Number 5, appliances. This is a big one. A lot of people like to keep appliances on their kitchen counter or feel like they have to. If you're not using that appliance daily, I would recommend removing it and putting it in a kitchen cabinet that is designated for all your kitchen appliances. I know for us, we didn't use our toaster daily. So I had my husband, when we renovated our house and renovated our pantry, I had him install an outlet inside of our pantry that I can plug in my toaster. We probably use it maybe once a week. And so I don't really need that on the kitchen counter. So I would remove any appliances that you're not using daily, remove them to a designated appliance cabinet or a designated shelf, maybe at the bottom of your pantry. Number 6, cooking utensils. Now I know some people like to store a canister of cooking utensils beside their stove. That's completely fine. I personally like to have a completely clear counter so that, you know, it kind of sets that standard and it helped to retrain me that that's the baseline. The baseline is nothing on the counters at all until I got through that training phase. Y'all, I'm still in that training phase 3 years later after starting this habit, and I actually love my kitchen counters being clear. So decide, do I really want to keep my utensils in a crock beside my stove? And if I do, then just minimize what's in there, but also think about putting them in a drawer beside your stove. If you're in this retraining phase, it's better to keep the kitchen counter clear so that things don't collect one thing after another. Okay, so think about how you want to store your kitchen utensils, declutter them, and make them handy for yourself. Okay, number 7, spices and condiments. Sometimes these are just left on the counter and they don't necessarily have to be. It's typically out of habit that they're left there. So I really recommend finding a designated cabinet. First of all, yes, declutter them. Declutter your spices. This is kind of like where our fantasy life comes into play. We think about and we fantasize over cooking all of these different foods, and so we collect all the different spices. That just overwhelms us. And I know that you spent money on it, but sometimes you just have to let it go, okay? You have to give yourself grace. Yes, you spent money on it, but it just puts additional pressure on you to actually cook that thing instead of maybe going and buying that when you're at capacity to be able to cook that item, okay? So first of all, declutter your spices and your condiments. Secondly, designate a certain cabinet or a shelf in your cabinets or even in your pantry for all of your spices and your condiments. Now, I have 2 different places for my spices, and I'll share with you why. By my stove, where my pot holders are and my cooking utensils, I have salt and pepper. I use salt and pepper every day, okay? So I want it handy. Some of y'all might put salt and pepper on the back of your stove if you have a little ledge there. That's great. Now, the majority of your spices can be stored in a completely different cabinet, okay? So they don't have to be right there by the stove at arm's length, okay? So just keep beside the stove what you use every day. All right. Number 8, fruits and vegetables. Okay. I am actually an advocate of this because I want to encourage my family to eat more fruits and vegetables. However, you can get creative in how you store them. So I went to Amazon and I looked up hanging baskets or baskets for the wall, and I found these really great baskets, and I'll actually put them in the show notes so you can click the link below for them. But they, because I do like to have a fruit bowl, but at the same time, I have extra fruit that's kind of like overflowing. And so I store these so that they're visible. Now, you can store your fruit in the refrigerator or in the pantry, but my people don't tend to eat fruit out of the pantry or the refrigerator unless it's like grapes or strawberries. And so I keep fruit very visible, and you can do that by putting some baskets on your wall or having just a simple fruit bowl, okay? But I would recommend having it all contained, and I recommend actually using it up and not letting it go to waste. We can do that by minimizing how much we buy from the grocery store, okay? Buy less to encourage yourself to eat more fruit. Number 9, cooking oils. You don't have to store them right by the stove. I know that's what we think, that we have to store them like standing upright right by the stove because that's where we use them. But if you don't use them daily, I would put them in the pantry. For me, I put them in our pantry with all the other cooking oils, like the bottle of vegetable oil and the bottle or the container of coconut oil, okay? And it gives you some exercise. So what if you have to walk 10 feet to go get it? It gives me some extra steps on my Apple Watch, and I'm gonna call that a win, okay? So just think about when you're in this retraining phase of keeping your counter clear and clutter-free, maybe remove your cooking oils to your pantry. And the last one for today is your paper towels. Now, this is a really simple one. You can simply get a paper towel hanger underneath your cabinets. I know that that's something that we did for decades, and now it's people, you don't see that in like Home and Better, the magazines, the home interior magazines. You don't see that, but like, it's functional. Why would we stop doing things like that? I don't want to encourage my family to use a lot of paper towels. So we don't have a paper towel holder at all. We did for years, but I wanted to go more minimal, more, you know, environmental friendly. And so I simply have a couple of rolls of paper towels in my pantry. And when I have the type of spill that I don't want to use a kitchen rag on, I simply go to the pantry and go get that roll of paper towels. I treat it like a cleaner. I wouldn't keep a cleaner on my counter, so I'm not gonna keep the roll of paper towels. So I wanna encourage you to maybe cut back on your use of paper towels altogether. However, if you don't wanna change that about your lifestyle, at least put up a little paper towel holder right underneath your cabinets, okay? Let's make it easy on ourselves. All right, friends, I hope you enjoyed this episode. Like I said, if you want any support from me, you can either work with me one-on-one by booking a coaching consultation with me, which the link is below, or you can hop inside the Accountability Club, which we focus on one area of our home. Each month, I give you 2 coaching calls as well as an accountability group. It's a lot of fun. You don't have to be shy and you don't have to be perfect. All right, friends, I will see you right here next time on the Habits and Home Show. Hey friend, before you go, I wanted to tell you more about the Accountability Club. Each month, we'll tackle a new space in our homes and work together to declutter and set up systems so we can easily maintain order without getting overwhelmed. You'll get a new decluttering tutorial each month, the coaching and accountability you need to actually follow through, and encouragement without judgment from other Christian moms in a safe environment. And guess what? The entire club is off of social media, so you don't have to worry about distractions the world may throw at you. Sweet friend, if you're feeling stuck in your decluttering journey, this is the place for you. Click the link below to try out the Accountability Club and start decluttering today.